Hello, you're listening to a Zen Studies Society podcast. To learn more about our community of Zen Buddhist practitioners, please visit zenstudies.org.
Shomonakato su dai goju roku soku kusan kara kusan ke iwaku junen kaijo ensu o motomu ensu o mazadeba mada aete kyuzezu shakyaku hanna hiraku bosatsu no men shuro hasanzu yasha no atama. Entangling Vines, Case 56, Kuzan Skata. Kuzan Shike said, "For 10 years at sea, I have sought my enemy. Until I find my friend, I cannot rest. Blossoming peony flowers, like bodhisattvas' faces. Scattered palm fronds, like demons' heads." Happy now. However we may account for it, we could say today is July 5th, 2023. We could say today is the fourth day of session, the 47th anniversary session. Or we could say today is just another day. And certainly it is now, where we find ourselves together here. And by now, by day four, things begin to become a little clearer. For example, my robe tells me exactly what was for lunch yesterday and the day before. We know exactly how the weather changed and how we dislike it in a different way today than yesterday. We become more attuned to the people, the persons, the human beings, the practitioners who sit next to us. Just by hearing them walk or feeling somebody pass by in the hall, this kinship of having spent 4 days together pervades everything we do. And it is quite noticeable in the beginning just to others. But then as we get into session, to ourselves, where we fall short of it. And that's a wonderful thing to do, to become aware of it. And it is also one of the most challenging things of this practice, of any kind of practice that we might have, that exposes us to this very, very deep investigation of our own human condition, of what we believe we are, or what we are deluded to think this or that. We come here to do a very, very difficult task. And when it starts to work, it gets even more difficult. I went to this retreat and I thought I would feel better. Here I am on day four and I feel like a piece of crap. There are all these terrible things coming up. It hurts. I don't feel good. And that's why we have Dokusan. That's why we have elders here who you can go to and say, "Is that, have you ever experienced that?" And that's usually when we begin to laugh. Of course, it is working. When things shake loose, they shake loose, and then they come out. Consider yourself here in a place where a spiritual constipation comes to a resolution. Do I have to go into more details? I don't think so. It resolves. Something is past. Yeah? When something is past, it is exposed to the open. We heard yesterday about all the things that come into the open. And so do these things that shake loose. Please do not feel bad about it. It is the natural process of this practice. And it's also how we help each other, by just sitting there next to each other, not doing anything else but investigating together. We heard from Kimpu Zenji, opening up the curtain to see, let us see and peek behind what often is difficult to access, even for ourselves. He had to come here to find all of this out. And yesterday we heard from Shinge Roshi speaking about this place. Also completely open, revealing things we hadn't heard. It is quite something to sit on this platform knowing that 48 years and a day ago, it was first mounted by Eidoro Roshi, who delivered his first teisho that stopped after the first sentence when he began to cry. And the thought returned to me when I was mounting this. How tall was Eidoro Roshi? How much might he have weighed? This thing is 50 years old. I'm much heavier. So that's why I come up here very careful. It is an honored piece that needs that care. And so are we. Many of us are older than this piece of furniture that we have here. So we have to treat ourselves with that respect, not like furniture, but with this love for what service has been delivered for this vast amount of time. There are also some here who are not as old as this piece of equipment that we use here. We had a wonderful walk around the pond and a service at the obelisk. May there be peace on earth. We heard yesterday how needed it is that we engage in acknowledging that it is necessary to not just for us to wait for that peace to arrive, but to do our best to contribute to the conditions that allow for a more peaceful existence. A more peaceful existence of us as individuals, a more peaceful existence of us as a society, the Zen Studies Society, as a society at large. And you might notice that things are happening here. Instead of burning fossil fuels, even you might think, oh, these heat pumps, they're god ugly. But we put heat pumps in. They don't work yet, as you might know. Otherwise, we would have air conditioning or some dehumidification. But it will be here. And that is also a manifestation of this commitment to go and to create conditions that enable us and this Mother Earth to continue to thrive. Did you see the beaver this morning? Mm-hmm. It was so wonderful to see that the beaver ponds in the back of the lake are fully raise to its fullest level. In years before, when the beavers were not here, it was just mud. Mud, and sometimes oils come out that give it a sheen, a natural sheen in iridescent colors. We saw a few eastern newts. That's what they are?
Red eft.
Red eft. Is there a controversy? These little dragons that we have on the mountain. Just as we finished bowing to Genpo Roshi's stupa, behind the stupa there was one just crawling on the stone in the moss. Living in 2023, I pulled out my phone and took a video. After session, you can see it. Yeah. Going this difficult path together, and I mean around the lake, is a manifestation of what we are to do in this communal practice. We hold for each other the branches that are in the way, and we don't just let them snap behind ourselves and the next person gets it in their face. If we assist others and we get wet or step into the areas that are laden with ticks, there is no thought about that in the moment where we manifest ourselves without this little I am self. And that leads me directly into this case that we have today. It is case 56 from the Shumon Kattoshu, that is the koan collection, which I have probably made the mistake to start because there are 280 cases. But we made it to 56. So, Kuzan's Gata. Let's look at who Kuzan is. His name was Kuzan Shike. He lived from 1083 until 1146 in the Common Era and appears in two cases in this Shumon Kattoshu. There's also a different name for him. Instead of Kuzan, another Dharma name was Chikuan, Chikuan Shike. He was a native of China, of Chengdu, which is in modern Sichuan province. All these details are captured in a book that is called the Keito Dentoroku, which was written about 1200 or so and gives the biographies of the masters. And it is like a family treasure, you know? There are stories in every family, aren't there? And they get moved forward. We change them a little bit over time when it is necessary. We don't speak about patriarchs anymore. Ancestors. So even with these stories, they keep developing. We even know his family name. His family name was Shi. While he was still young, he entered a temple, the Great Compassion Temple, Dai Hi Ji. I do not speak Chinese, so I will not even try to butcher the Chinese. That's why I use the Japanese pronunciations of these terms, even though Kuzan was a person of China. So he entered this temple and studied sutras, the Surangama Sutra. Have you ever heard of the Surangama Sutra? Yeah? When did you hear it last? This morning.
Yeah.
Every day. The Ryogon Shu is this magic Dharani from the Surangama Sutra. The one with the cookies. Yeah? Cookie Tsuryoyo. Yeah? Tongue twisters. That is the Surangama Sutra, part of it. So he studied that. And then he was not satisfied, as many of these ancient masters are not satisfied by reading words and by studying commentaries, and they hear about the Chan people. So he went and found himself a teacher by the name of Butsugen Seon. He studied with him and became his successor. This koan here is a gatha that is found in the writings of Kuzan Shike. In Japanese, this song or this composition of verses is called the Higashi Bayashi Osho Umon An Shoko. Higashi Bayashi, that is the same, that's the temple, Eastern Forest Temple. That's where he ended up. What is a gatha? Anybody know what a gatha is? Yeah, any Buddhist text in a specific verse. Have we heard a gatha lately? Yes, this morning. A gatha that we all know is Atadipa. That feeling of how poetic it is. An expression from a deep, deep place. And in the same way, Kuzan Shike created this gatha to express something that came deep from his experience. What we just chanted is, if I'm not mistaken, from the Pari Nirvana Sutra, the last sutra of the Buddha's teaching before he passed away. A deep expression where he answers the question of Ananda, "O teacher, what shall we do when you are gone? Don't you get goosebumps when you experience it that way? This gatha is composed in classical Chinese verse with a specific number of characters. I don't know if our native Chinese speakers and readers had a chance, and also our educated Chinese readers had a chance to look at it and make any sense of it. I don't know. I always think you look at it and go, ah. We have to resort to the English. For 10 years at sea, I have sought my enemy. Until I find my friend, I cannot rest. 10 years Junen, just the character 10 and the character year. Was it 10 years? It just means for a long, long time. Now some of you might remember a young monk by the name of the next two characters. On the ocean, Kaijo. You might remember he was a monk here. He was here when I first came here. And Kaijo, on the ocean. So what ocean are we talking about? The ocean we go to for vacation, right? We go for vacation and there's a hotel on that ocean. And that hotel is under new management. It's called Hotel Karma, you know? And the ocean is called the ocean of samsara. You thought there were surfboards and stuff like that, but they're only rafts. And then later you find out that the new manager was just fired from another job, and his name is Raj. You know, he just came from another job in Kalinga. No, it's not that ocean. Is it the ocean of samadhi? 10 years on the ocean of samadhi. There is no accounting for time on the ocean of samadhi. So it could not be that ocean. What other ocean could it be? Is it the ocean of compassion, as we find it in the Lotus Sutra? Who knows? Just in the end, before the Lotus Sutra, chapter 25 ends, where the 84,000 beings attain supreme enlightenment. Hachiman shi senju jokai hotsumuto do anokutara samyako sambo daishin. There are 8 characters just before that. Jigen jisu jo fukuju kai muryo. It says, regarding sentient beings with merciful eyes, Bodhisattva Kanon extends the ocean of immeasurable blessings. I think we are getting closer to what kind of ocean he is talking about here. So if you ever have a chance to step into the meeting room, you will see on the wall that is facing the Zendo site, there is a long board hanging, a zenpan. It was one of those boards the monks supposedly put their chin on because they weren't uncomfortable enough. Huh? And it is inscribed with characters written by Hakuine Kaku that write exactly these characters, Jigen Jishu Jo Fukuju Kai Muryo, with the difference that Hakuin, instead of Ju, which Ju is Atsumaru, to extend, to accumulate, he puts in this Kotobukiya, which is longevity. So not only compassion, but also longevity. Look at the board. It's very interesting. It was a gift that Shingiroshi received when we had the great fortune to be present at the 250th anniversary service for Hakuine Kaku Zenji at Ryotakuji in 2017. That is the gift that they gave to the guests. So you can see it there. Immeasurable blessings and longevity. So in the Zen interpretation, this phase is used to encourage us all to develop that kind of fullness of kindness, of compassion. And as you might find out, it's really the hardest to start extending that ocean right where your feet are. Not standing on the shore of the ocean, but standing in it for yourself. 10 years on the ocean. Now it gets interesting. Some people here might be thinking, oh, I've been practicing for at least 10 years. Yeah, and I've been thrown back and forth like in the waves on this ocean, just like practice. So why did he find himself on this ocean? He was looking for something. And the next two characters are Enshu. En, it means a false charge, a false accusation. And it also means hatred. And Shu, Mukuiru, Ataru, enemy, revenge. And put together, the characters just mean raw. Raw, but raw not by itself, but raw in terms of relationship. And therefore, in the translation, I chose for the first time the two characters appear to say enemy, and the second time, friend. For 10 years at sea, I have sought my enemy. Until I find my friend, I cannot rest. It is the same term in both places. What is he talking about? Why is friend and enemy the same thing? Why is he seeking? Well, aren't we here because we crave some wholeness? Because we know we are not yet complete? Isn't it the story of humanity that moves us forward, wanting to become more full, more peaceful, more wholesome? In that context, we created some teachings of higher beings, you know, books that promise, yes, there is wholesomeness. Not now, just you got to die first. And before you die, you better do what we tell you. But the underlying emotion here is that deep, deep longing for something that helps us get there. So teachings as those are wonderful. They are so much better than slaughtering each other. But we are looking even further. Maybe we are not satisfied even with these teachings. We still feel there is something. Anyone who has been in a relationship with a partner, a lover, knows how strong this longing for wholesomeness is. And that is one of the ways in this human world how we can become more whole. And from your experience, maybe now you also understand a little clearer that word of raw in relationship can be friend or enemy at the same time. Isn't that so? Those who we hold dearest have the capacity of both being our friend, but also to appear as the worst of all enemies. What it points out is subject-object, just to say it in a more more technical, it's such a terrible word, but philosophical maybe, or relation-oriented way, subject and object, they always stand in opposition. That's what object means. If you don't want something, what do? Your Honor. Objection. Object really means there is something that stands against the subject. And we have to realize that this relationship of standing in opposition is what makes this world we live in experienceable. The brokenness is what makes it what it is. If it were all one, there would be no experience. There would be nobody to experience anything. You couldn't even tell it bliss. There's nobody to bliss out. It's boring. Zen sickness is boring too, because that's abiding in an emptiness that has no interaction, no relationship. And when we realize that making relationship is what helps us quench the thirst for completeness, it takes on a completely different way of how we care about making relationship. Opposition means also friction. You might have come here and think, why do they make things so difficult? Well, some of the things that are difficult are made so just intentionally. Couldn't we sit and do it after 8 hours of sleep? Of course we could. Couldn't we serve meals on a table with a menu, maybe? Yes, we could, but no, it's not helpful here. What it is meant to create is friction. Friction, because it's only if we run into something, into an object, that we can develop a sense to what we are, where we are, how far do we extend, and become really, really clear what this being is, who we call I. Friction is sensation. Sensation is all based on friction. It's the incompleteness, as I said, the brokenness of the 10,000 things that they interact with each other that makes this world visible, smellable, feelable. And I say that with emphasis because it's important not to see that brokenness as something that's not good. If we hadn't brokenness, as it says in the Heart Sutra, there wouldn't be shikishoku or mis, all right? No taste, no seeing, no hearing, no smelling, no tasting, no feeling, no thinking. All of that is just possible through the brokenness. We bring it together, the brokenness, and different traditions in different ways. Tikkun Olam in the Jewish tradition, the bringing together of the world that has broken. We bring the world together when we just completely bring everything together in Gassho. And what we learn here is that, well, a moment later, it breaks again. My ordination teacher, Joshua Roshi, used to say, you know, even if people, two people, love them, each other so much, and they give each other a really, really good hug and stay with that. Sooner or later, one of them will have to go to the bathroom. So that is the ocean he's talking about, that ocean of change. Here, friction is in practice. This place sometimes we can call a stone tumbler. Each of us is a stone that's put into this tumbler, which is this big drum that has an axle in the middle and the crank. And when the stones are in there, then we start cranking it. It's very loud. It creates a lot of dust. And what do the stones do inside? To what end? When you're done and you open it up, you take the stones out and you have polished gems. That's what's happening here. That's what some of the rules we really don't like. They are polishing agents. And the person that annoys you the most in this room, it might be me, is also such a gift to us in that stone tumbler to allow us to soften those jagged edges that we don't know unless we find ourselves in such a circumstance. It is difficult to begin to practice and to practice. And this is more dust that is being shaken loose through the process, loud and all of that. So, fellow gems, that's what we are doing here, and that's what he's talking about. This fullness, this wholeness we want. We naturally return to that wholeness. Naturally. I know while we are sitting here during the day, we think, oh, how do I get there? How do I get there? This where there is total lights out, nobody there, nothing experienced, no time, no world, no I, no other. And we struggle and struggle and struggle. And then we go to bed. There it is. But you don't know, because you're not there. So nature takes care of it. But we know when we are not sleeping that deeply that everything disappears. That is not unlike our waking state. Dreams, delusions. And we have to learn how to work with all of it. How I have come lately to express this, which is expressed here through the enemy and the friend, through the raw connection, is that, well, this connection which is present in a non-dual state turns into our interpretation of enemy as soon as we create that duality of having to ascribe it some kind of nameable word or feeling or whatever. Sometimes enemy, sometimes friend. But what we have to learn is that we have to look at the function of our being that makes that relationship and not be consumed by how the content that moves through that function plays out. So it is not so much that we have to learn, well, when is it an enemy, when is it a friend, but when does our relationship in that rawness and directness comes to the place that we cut it into this and that. dysfunction is what he describes in here. Kusan Shike. And he expresses it in two more lines that are more poetic than the first two. One more note about the two characters, Enshu. The Zen tradition, the Rinzai Zen tradition, has a lot of written stuff, yeah. A lot of written commentaries and traditions to look at specific cases in specific ways. And so this Enshu also points to, it's another description of what we were talking about, points to the original face. Honrai no memmoku. Honrai no memmoku. The fundamental face, the face, your face, your parents' face before they were born, however you want to express it. It's also sometimes used to describe our quest of finding a true teacher. A true teacher in our lives, whoever that may be. And what do true teachers do? They help us move towards wholeness and wholesomeness. Enshu. You can find it here. If you go into a traditional Dokusan and you're hoping for affirmation, you have come to the wrong place. So suddenly you have this nice old Japanese man who is the most gentle person out there. You meet them in the Dokusan. Ding-a-ling-a-ling, and out you go. Same thing. Enshu, true teaching. So now to the next two lines. Blossoming peony flowers like bodhisattvas' faces. Well, this is a garden of peonies right here. Blossoming bodhisattva faces. Sometimes when we look, also, scattered palm fronds like demons' heads. Especially when we see our own reflection while we sit in Zazen. So this peony is the Chinese peony, Shakyaku. And Shudo is the Chinese windmill palm. You know what the Chinese windmill palm looks like? Anyone? How would you describe it? We have all to go to China and look at the Chinese windmill palm. I think it has very big leaves. We'll have to find out. Yeah? This is what this investigation is about. This investigation is how does this Honrai no Memmoku, how does this original face show itself? In what kind of manifestations? Sometimes as demons, sometimes as bodhisattvas. Demon heads and bodhisattvas are both aspects of this original face. Now, when I came here this time, when I went up the front steps, there is this carved boulder that has characters on it. And I just had seen exactly the same characters on a post on social media of a Japanese friend by the last name of Nakahara, who puts pictures on with his mother. And from her house, and I'd like to go that to that house. It's like a treasure trove of calligraphy. One of the pictures where he showed his mother, there was in the background a calligraphy by Soen Roshi. So I wrote to him, oh, is it Mitakutsu Soen? I said, yeah, one of many she has. And there was this one calligraphy across, like the one we have in the dining room, yeah, that is read from the right to the left, like a big banner. And exactly the same character that we have out on that stone. So before Sesshin, I asked Roshi if she knew anything more about it. And I went to investigate it a little more. And it's quite interesting. It says, Nenzureba Hana Hiraku. It is a poem by a famous Buddhist Japanese poet by the name of Sakamatsu Shinmin. Sakamura Shinmin, who lived from 1908 until 2006. It's probably his most famous line. It's the title of a poem. When we really literally translate it, it says, Doing Nen, flower opens. It was put there in the year 2001. When you look at it, it says 2001, and Shinmin, it says under it. Also, when you go to the dining hall, you might see a plate on the right side of the altar there with blue writing on it. Same characters. Nenzureba Hanahiraku. That was a plate that was issued for its 100th birthday to celebrate it in 2008. Yeah. Sakamura Shinmin. It's an important lesson. There's a translation into English which I will tell you. The English translation is, where there is a will, there is a way. Oh my, this is painful. Well, clearly this translation is based upon a specific non-Buddhist kind of bias behind it. Where there is a will, there is a way. Maybe somebody tried to match up something that really in the end does not match up. Nen, what is doing Nen? Are we doing any Nen? When did we do last formal Nen? It's always the same answer, this morning, right? Kanze on Namu Butsu, right? How often does the word Nen come in there? Nen Nen Jushinki, Nen Nen Furishin, and Chonen Kanzeon. In the morning, I give Nen to Kanzeon. Bonen Kanzeon. In the afternoon, I give Nen to Kanzeon. So that is the giving Nen. If that Nen is now Nen Butsu, in other traditions, like Nama Amida Butsu, Nama Amida Butsu. Or if it's the Nen of being with our breath, or being with our chanting, giving Nen and doing Nen is coming to this fully absorption. The full absorption of jhana practice. Nen Butsu, or cradling a baby to sleep, where the self and the will of the self completely disappears. This makes this English translation so clear that it's not coming anywhere near. This has nothing to do with will. When we give ourselves to doing Nen, we are giving, maybe we could say we are willing ourselves, but that's the only allowed use of the word will in this context. We are willfully giving ourselves completely away to what kind of Nen we do, so that we completely disappear. This is the practice of Muga, of no self, of completely being a bodhisattva that gives the own self completely away. And this Muga, no self, is when the flowers begin to open. Ichi nen tojo ni renge o hiraki. We chant it in English every morning. That's from the Bosatsu Gangyomon. Bodhisattva's vow. Then in each moment's flash of our thought, there will grow a lotus flower. Each flash of our thought, that is Nen. Hana hiraku, the growing of the lotus flower, exactly the same thing. This practice of Muga is essential. All this formality helps us to lose ourselves and give ourselves to this practice of no self. Nenzureba hana hiraku. Every step we take, every thought we think, each moment giving ourselves. And that makes the impossible possible. Shingyu Roshi recounted that for that 25th anniversary, everybody was standing in front of that poem with Edo Roshi. And I cannot see it as anything else as than this acknowledgement that this should have been impossible. Here it is. Here we are. And how was it arrived at? One little Nen at a time. One little Nen at a time. When we think something is impossible, now I have to go back to the inspiration from Kimpu Zenji. When he spoke, he picked out a very specific sentence. It reminded me of a similar sentence from the Lankavatara Sutra, from the chapter 3. Things are not what they seem, nor are they otherwise. When we think that something is impossible, we are not practicing Muga. When we actualize our vows, then we practice Nen. And we fully participate in this activity of Engi, of causation, but not in a way that is uninvolved, not in a way that is deluded or unclear, but as somebody who actualizes this pratityasamutpada, this codependent arising, this being in relationship, this interdependence. And for my part, it is the key that opens to a life of fullness that one can not even imagine. So with deep gratitude, let us all do Nen and keep Nenzudeva Hana Hiraku, always in our heart of no self.
This has been a Zen Study Society podcast. If you found it to be of interest, please consider making a donation by visiting zenstudies.org/donate. Thank you for listening.